Welcome to this edition of Shanghai Live. I'm Wang Ying.
I'm Chen Xuan.
Construction started today on 9 projects in Hongkou District. One of them is a 480-meter skyscraper, which will be the tallest building in Puxi upon completion. Zhang Hong tells us more.
The top of the skyscraper will resemble a budding magnolia flower. The building will include a hotel, offices, and commercial space. A rooftop balcony will be open to the public for views of the city. It will have 99 floors and is scheduled for completion in 2030, when it will be the third tallest building in the city after Shanghai Tower at 632 meters and Shanghai World Financial Center, which measures 492 meters.
The building will have features that resemble Shanghai. It will be suitable for business, living and shopping.
Construction started on 8 other projects today. The 9 projects combine to cover an area of 1.03 million square meters with total investment of 40.3 billion yuan.
Starting construction on Puxi's new landmark is a symbolic step. It marks the beginning of a new era of development at the North Bund. It will help the region achieve its planned functions.
Hongkou government officials said 22 major projects are planned this year at the North Bund. Zhang Hong, Shanghai Life.
New Zealand's Foreign Minister Naneya Mahuta is on a 4-day visit to China at the invitation of Chinese State Councilor and Foreign Minister Qin Gang. In the past 5 decades, the trade between China and New Zealand has been growing quickly. Our reporter Zhang Shixuan spoke to one businessman from New Zealand and finds out how he has been contributing to that growth.
Having been doing business here on the Chinese mainland for around a decade, this digital marketing and e-commerce agency now serves more than 300 brands. Ashwin Pillay from New Zealand is one of the co-founders of the Shanghai headquartered firm.
We've had a very, very long-standing relationship with New Zealand companies, with New Zealand government, helping New Zealand exporters succeed in the China market. One of the challenges that a lot of New Zealand companies face when it comes to China is the unknown. And that's what we help foreign businesses navigate with, is understanding the ecosystem.
In the past decade, Pillay says he's seen increasing interest from New Zealand's companies in exporting their products and services to China.
Oftentimes, people have this impression that it's only New Zealand fresh produce and FMCG products that are being exported into the China market, which simply isn't the case. You know, there are a lot of innovative technologies in terms of blockchain, logistics, sustainability technologies as well that New Zealand's now exporting to China as well.
China and New Zealand have seen impressive growth in bilateral trade volume, and the cooperation has been ever extended. In late March 2017, New Zealand became the first Western developed country to sign a cooperation agreement with China on the Belt and Road Initiative. And in the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, which took effect last January, New Zealand was counted as one of the 15 member countries.
RCEP for New Zealand's massive. It's expected to increase the GDP by $2 billion. With the RCEP, it reduces a lot of the red tape. And we're already starting to see that with a lot of New Zealand organizations, with their interest in coming up into market, meeting with potential partners and distributors, understanding the landscape a little bit more.
China remains New Zealand's largest trading partner, export market, and source of imports. The bilateral trade volume between the two countries jumped from $7 million New Zealand dollars 5 decades ago to $35.5 billion in 2021. Zhang Shixuan, Money Talks.
TikTok CEO Shou Zhichu testified before a U.S. congressional committee in Washington, D.C. yesterday. The hearing came after the Biden administration indicated that it may ban the app in the United States if its Chinese owner ByteDance refused to sell its stake in TikTok to an American company. Simeon Runcourt has more.
During the 5-hour hearing, Chu spent most of his time attempting to push back assertions that TikTok or its Chinese parent company ByteDance are tools of the Chinese government, arguing the platform was doing everything to ensure safety for its 150 million American users.
I think a lot of risks that are pointed out are hypothetical and theoretical risks. I have not seen any evidence.
Number one, we will keep safety, particularly for teenagers, as a top priority for us. Number two, we will firewall protected U.S. data.
Chu said TikTok had spent more than $1.5 billion U.S. dollars on data security efforts. The data will be housed in a new division called U.S. Data Security, which will be monitored by a U.S. tech company, Oracle, an effort dubbed Project Texas. U.S. lawmakers also mentioned the app's impact on children. Chu responded to many pointed questions by saying the issues were complex and not unique to TikTok. When he tried to explain further, he was interrupted several times.
Do you have full responsibility over the algorithms used by TikTok to prioritize content to its users? Yes or no, please.
Congressman, we do take these issues very seriously.
Yes or no?
And we do provide resources for anyone who types in anything that...
Sir, yes or no?
Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Mao Ning said today that China urges the United States to cease its unreasonable suppression of foreign companies. Mao added, China has never and will not ask companies or individuals to collect or provide data located in foreign countries for the Chinese government in a way that violates local laws. So far, the U.S. government has not provided any evidence that TikTok poses a threat to U.S. national security, but it has repeatedly made attempts to suppress the company. Stephen Rancourt, Shanghai Live.